The Bible reading for this morning is from Romans 5, 1 through 11, the English Standard Version. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we have been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That is your scripture reading for this morning.
And you may be seated. Thank you, Marco. And to start, I'm just going to pray once more that those words that we just read might start to sink in even now. So let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for your words. We acknowledge them that they are your words, and that in them are life. We find life. So with what has been said, read, Lord, I pray that both through our minds and through your Holy Spirit working, you would be helping us to understand what your words have to say to us today, individually and as a corporate body of Christ. It's only because of you, Lord, that that any of what I'm going to share is going to even make any sense. And so I trust myself completely to you at this time. And we also come eager to be fed, eager to receive from your word, Lord. And so thank you for what you are going to do through the reading and the teaching of your word in advance. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Well, I outdressed Aaron today. That's not hard to do when he's. I'm not saying in general. I'm not taking shots at him in general. I'm just the orange and the camouflage. I appreciate that Darren really takes pressure off me. We just came out of a wonderful Easter season celebration, didn't we? If you were around here. We had an awesome time with our Good Friday service and with our Easter celebration. And I don't know if you've ever wondered this yourself, but going back to the idea of Good Friday, have you ever thought to yourself, now why in the heck do they call it Good Friday? I mean, because isn't that the day when Jesus died, that horrible, excruciating death on the cross? Why in the world would we call that Good Friday? And I hope you've wondered that before, because I've wondered it. Even this last week leading up to it, I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, it's so odd that we call it Good Friday, because it's terrible Friday. And it is a terrible Friday. It's a terrible Friday because while we were sinners, Christ died. That's terrible. That's horrible that happened. And it is, as we were observing Good Friday, it was really somber, and it was painful even to reflect on the death of Jesus and what he did. But it is also a Good Friday. It is both a terrible and a Good Friday. It is a Good Friday because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that's the key that is even found in this passage here, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what makes it a Good Friday, because for us, because of what Jesus did for us, we've been justified by faith, which is how this passage begins. Our faith has justified us in the same way that in chapter 4 before this, it says that Abraham was also justified by faith. It says that the folks in the Old Testament were saved in the same way, not because of their faithfulness to God, but because of their faith. Their faith in God's faithfulness. Abraham had faith that God would fulfill what he promised he would do. And that even ultimately leads to the point that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so Friday is a both terrible and it's a both Good Friday. And the reason why it's good is because of the benefits that we get for being justified by faith. And it's the same for us who even though Jesus died before we were even born, that Christ died for us. And in this passage, it goes on to list these different benefits of what it is that Christ died for us, some of the things that we gain from it. And I even had a little bit of time to think about this because during that Holy Week, I invited a lot of the teenagers to come with me, and we carried the wooden cross that we keep downstairs. We carried it around the loop of town. And if you were driving around that day, I think it was on Wednesday, you would have seen us, and we saw some people who honked and waved at us. But there was about seven of us, and we were carrying this cross around town. And we would do it in shifts every once in a while. I would get a shift, and I would get to carry this cross, you know, from probably one stoplight to the next. And one of the things I noticed is every time that I had a turn to carry this cross, as I was walking, I was noticing myself, I was just thinking more about Jesus, and I was focused on him. I didn't even really have to try. But as I was doing it, I was just thinking what it must have been like for him. And I was also thinking about all that I have because Jesus did this, because Jesus carried that cross and finished that work. And right away in this passage in Romans chapter 5, and if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along in that. If not, there should be a pew Bible in front of you. But in Romans chapter 5, it starts out with therefore, which in Bible school they teach us, therefore, what is it there for? Well, it's there for a reason. It's there to connect the previous thought with what's going on now. And I already connected you with the previous thought. It's the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham is what made him justified by faith. And it's the same for us. And so he's saying, so therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have these benefits, is what it has. Some of the benefits it lists here, it says that we have peace with God. It says that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we have access to his grace. And it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So right off the bat, there are three things that it says that we get. Three things that are for us. Three things why it makes Terrible Friday actually a Good Friday. Because we get these things when we're justified by faith. The first one says that we have peace with God. Now, this is not speaking of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that we read about in Philippians. This isn't speaking about a kind of inner peace that you can have when you're going through all sorts of different circumstances in life. This is saying that you have peace with God. You have actual peace with God. And what that tells us is there was a time when we were not at peace with God. In fact, we learn a little bit later in the chapter that we were actually enemies of God. And you're thinking, enemies? I never really felt like an enemy of God. I never felt like I was hated God. But the reality is that if you've ever sinned, and you have all sinned before, when you sin, what you do is you give yourself permission to disobey the king, to disobey God as the king, and to set up your own kingdom against his. You say that I have decided what is right and wrong to do, and it's in opposition to God's. And so therefore, you are an enemy of God. And so if you've ever sinned before, you were not at peace with God. You were at war with God. And all of mankind was in this perpetual state of war with God. But it says that when we were justified by faith, that now we have peace with God. And so this isn't talking about a feeling. This is talking about a fact that when you were justified by faith, that you have peace with God. Another thing that it says is that we have access into his grace. Access by faith into his grace. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is sort of like if you think in kingly terms, that if you were given permission, if you were given access into the grace of a monarch, it means you would get to go in and have a meeting with them. You would get to have a face-to-face interaction with them because you've been given permission to do that. You know, whenever I go in to eat at Sandy's, I see in a picture frame that Tom Hanks was here in town at some point before I was here. And maybe some of you remember when that happened, but I don't know, maybe some of you even were able to get access to meet him at some point. Maybe some of you were able to get an introduction to meet Tom, and I think that would have been really cool. And if that would have been me, I would have been super excited to be able to get access to set up a meeting with this person who's a celebrity. So how much more when you're justified by faith and it says that you get an introduction to God himself? How much more awesome is that? It says that when you're justified by faith, you get access into his grace. And not only that, but we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, the problem with the word hope in our language is when we speak of hope, we speak more of wishful thinking and dreaming and not really basing it in reality. It's always something that's not really attainable, but we hope it is. But that is not at all the way that they use the word hope. They spoke hope for people in this time, in biblical times. Hope was a sure thing. Hope was something that was a deep-seated conviction that they know that this is going to happen. And so when they rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, it is a sure thing. And that's why you can have confidence when you're rejoicing or you're boasting that someday you are going to be able to experience the glory of God. If you remember sometime in January of this past year, there was a football game. It was the Saints versus the Vikings in the playoffs. And there were 10 seconds left on the clock when the Saints were winning the game. And it looked like a sure victory for them. And in sports bars across the nation, Saints fans were cheering and high-fiving each other and celebrating, rejoicing that they had just won the game. But it was too soon because in that 10 seconds, the Vikings scored a touchdown and stole the game from them, and their rejoicing was stopped immediately because they lost. We can be even more sure that God will give us the opportunity to experience His glory someday in the future. And you notice this when our benefits are peace with God, access into His grace, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that it's speaking of past, present, and future. Because when we have peace with God, that's peace with God from all of our past. We have access into His grace, which is something for the present. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which is in the future. Now, the glory of God, the idea for the Hebrew people is this word called kabod. And it means, literally, heaviness or weight. That's what God's glory is. It's this heaviness or this weight. Augustine called it the gravitas. We use something very similar today when we talk about it. If someone in a conversation dropped something that was really profound, we usually say, that was heavy. Like, that was glory. Well, that's what God's glory is. It's the heaviness, the weightiness of God. It's all that God is. And so we rejoice in the hope that we will get to experience all that God is in the full weightiness and the heaviness of who God is. Not only do we rejoice in what's going to happen in the future, but we rejoice even now, because what it says in verse 3, we rejoice even in our suffering. Rejoice in our suffering. Now that's crazy. Why would we rejoice in our suffering? Well, we can rejoice in our suffering because now our suffering means something. Now it has a purpose. What is it we always ask when we're going through suffering? Why? Why? But when you've been justified by faith, even your suffering has a purpose. A few chapters later, and I won't spoil this for Pastor Darren, but in Romans 8:28, it says that now God is going to work all things together for the good of those who love Him. He's going to work all things together, and that includes in our suffering. And it says, for those who've been called according to His purpose, to be made into the likeness of His Son. We're now put into this divine process of being made into the likeness of Jesus. And so our suffering even has a purpose. And Paul shares about it here. He says that our suffering produces endurance. And our endurance produces character, and the character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. You know, I've heard many stories about people who have suffered and spoken that in the midst of their suffering, they've felt such closeness with God that when they look back on it now, they would actually not take that suffering away because they remember just how much they clung to God, how much they were focused on Him. And I think that's what it's what they experience is what's spoken of next here. It says that hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Because I think in those times when we suffer, that the Holy Spirit will pour God's love into our hearts and remind us in ways that we need to be reminded that we belong to Him, that this suffering does not mean that He doesn't love us. But it is tempting to think that God doesn't love us when He suffers. And so this next series of While We Were Still sayings that Paul has are presented as facts that we can bank on. When we feel like God doesn't love us, it's a historical fact that verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Even on your best day, even at your best effort, you were still too weak to be good enough. But even then, Christ died for the ungodly. It's crazy that he would do this. And Paul even goes on to say about that, a person would hardly die for a righteous person. Perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. And we ourselves know what it's like for someone to die for their country because they love their country. Or we know what it would be like for someone to lay down their life for their own family because they love their family so much. But it's unheard of that someone would die for the ungodly. And it says God shows his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so when you feel like God doesn't love you, this is a fact that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. If you ever feel like God doesn't love you, remember the cross, because it's rooted in history. It's something that actually happened that proves God's love for us. Because you know, it wasn't actually our sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Our sin was deserving of death. But it was God's love that Jesus took our cross instead. You catch that difference? Because if when we think about the cross, all that we think about is guilt and shame, then we're missing the point. Jesus dying on the cross, going to the cross, was an example. It was the essence of God's love for us. We should look at the cross and be able to see this is God's love. And it says more, while we were still also enemies, as I said before, we were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And so this is proof that we have peace with God, that while we were still weak, ungodly sinners, and enemies of God, Christ died for us. And then verses 9 to 11 just seem to say that since we can be sure that we have all of these things because we are justified by faith, because of Jesus' death, how much more confidence should we be able to have since Jesus is alive? Since Jesus is living, how much more confidence should we be able to have in our Savior that he's going to carry out everything that he said he's going to do? And that we're going to get to experience the full gravitas of God. You know, after Easter worship last Sunday, I immediately drove to Virginia to spend the day with my grandparents. It was also my grandma's birthday, and both my grandparents are in a nursing home, but I'm losing my grandpa to Alzheimer's. And so it's been a long time since he's known who I was. And he even, when I was last there, he was calling my grandma his mother. And it's just really hard to see him deteriorate and to slowly lose someone to that disease. Especially that it was on Easter when we were celebrating life and that Jesus is risen. But when I think about all of that, and I think that how much more should I have confidence in Jesus because he is alive? And even when I'm going through all of those things and experiencing losing my grandpa in this way, I can have confidence and I can rejoice that God loves me, because when we were still at our very, very worst, Christ died for us. It says multiple times in this passage that we should rejoice, that we're able to rejoice because of what Jesus did for us while we were still. And we're going to get to do that in a little bit as we sing songs. This is permission to sing that Paul gives us here, because we get to rejoice that we have access into God's presence. We can even rejoice through the tears when we're suffering. And we can rejoice that we're no longer enemies, but that we have a relationship with God. And so I'm going to invite the worship team back up at this time. And we're going to get a chance to sing together. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for us. Oh, Father, thank you that when we were still, yes, the very worst, you showed your love for us. Your love for us, that which is seen in Jesus dying for us on the cross, which is a terrible thing that happened, Lord, but it is such a good thing in that you are a good God, and your love is so evident to us in that way. And so as we come out of this season of Easter, and reflecting on the death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead of Jesus, we want to continue to celebrate, and we want to continue to rejoice, Lord, that all of these things that are benefits to us are as good as in the bank. We can count on it. And so we want to rejoice and to sing, Lord, knowing that we won't be disappointed in the end, like the Saints fans at the football game. But we know that our rejoicing won't disappoint us, and our hope won't disappoint us. In Jesus' name, amen.
to blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
One more time.
Blessed be the name.
Stand if you would like to sing these two songs as the deer, two verses. Thank you. And this song, Fill My Cup, Lord, two verses also.